Hello,
good morning,
everybody. Good morning. Good morning. It's a joy to be here again today. We were talking a little bit this morning as we were reading these verses and just chatting to learn about each other's day so far. Marcela and I both had some bad dreams last night, so we're starting today with a little bit of, I don't know how to put the words into it, but it's just like, we need the presence of God.
Yeah.
We feel gross. We feel yucky, you know? We just need the presence of God.
Yeah, we need it.
Here we are. We're going to read this devotional today, Genesis 29:30. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. So we read these verses already, this Genesis 29:16-30, and wow, this is crazy. This is a famous verse. You guys probably all know this who have been reading the Bible for some time, and so this story is wild, and I would never want to be in a situation like this from the point of view of the father, from either wife, or from Jacob, because we have this awesome saying in America, this expression, happy wife, happy life, and Jacob had two unhappy wives.
Yeah.
So how do you think his life was? Probably not very happy. I'm just going to assume. So today's devotional is called Love the Second Time Around. And I think this devotional is focused more towards people who are being remarried or who have been previously divorced or in intimate relationships prior to marriage. And Mar, you were also saying something.
Dated other person before.
And you were saying something earlier about their Rachel and Leah's relationship and how this relates to today's devotion. Do you remember? Nope. Okay. All right. Let's read this devotional part. Is there a deceased spouse or ex or even a high school sweetheart who lives as a competitor in your family folklore? Do you occasionally feel less smart, funny, or sexy than a former lover of your spouse? That's a heavy question. Each of us wants a spouse who has loved us only, but statistically speaking, that's become less likely. Experts estimate 43% of all marriages are remarriages for both or one partner. Second loves can add additional stress, especially with one partner, justifiably or not, feels unable to live up to the standards set by someone else. Such comparisons leave us feeling bitter, jealous, and unloved. Something I've heard many, many times, that comparison is the killer of joy. And I think that describes social media. If we're using social media to compare ourselves to other people around us, or as this devotion was saying, a previous lover of our spouse or something, I mean, it's not a good place to be when you're constantly comparing yourself to someone. It's not safe. It's not good. Such comparisons leave us feeling bitter, jealous, and unloved. Leah, the unloved sister referred to in today's scripture reading, can relate. Her name means wild cow, and she's described as having weak eyes. Contrast to that, her younger sister Rachel, whose name means lamb, is described as beautiful with a lovely figure. The first time Jacob saw Rachel, he was so blown away by her beauty that he single-handedly rolled a huge stone cover off of a well, kissed her, and began to weep. What a big counter.
She's strange.
Like, hey, girl.
And kiss her and starts crying.
What?
Like,
interesting.
Just cry, honey.
Yeah, that's exactly how we met. Same way. Yeah, same way.
Crying because she's so beautiful and she's the love of my life.
Jacob then agreed to work for Rachel's father for 7 years in exchange for his daughter's hand in marriage. I think for one, props to Jacob for willing to put in 7 years of work to get this girl. He must have really, really been passionate about Rachel. I mean, come on. Imagine if I wanted to marry you and your mom or your uncle were like, hey, gotta work for me for 7 years. I'm like, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years are like a day. Nope.
I think they're doing you stay here before you take me to America.
I mean, why? But he did it. He did it without complaining.
It's what I'm saying is they're making you stay here in Brazil.
To have you around.
Yeah. Before you take me.
What we're doing. Maybe that's
to your country.
And that's what it is.
You're paying for.
And at the wedding, Laban decided not to give his daughter and not keep up his end of the bargain. Instead of giving Rachel to Jacob, he substituted his older daughter, Leah, the wild cow girl. The wild cow.
I was reading that like that.
No, but it said earlier she was a wild cow with weak eyes. So unfortunately, he had the other woman.
Yeah.
But here's the serious part. Imagine Leah's pain that night. It would have been dark when she unveiled herself. Jacob would not have known who she was. Perhaps a tear slid down her cheek when she nestled her face in his hair and whispered, I love you, Rachel, more than anyone else in the world. How Leah must have feared that sunrise. How did Leah react when Jacob discovered she wasn't Rachel? Did she quietly try to please him? Did that she fantasized that Jacob loved her now instead of Rachel. So I'm a visual learner, so I imagine in the situation, like, her trying to please him, like, it's okay, don't be worried, I'm okay, you know? Like, I just, that's such a crazy situation that she was trying to just please him and talk him into it. It's okay, you know? Imagine the heartbreak in that situation from both perspectives. Both were deceived, you know?
Yeah, both suffered.
Both suffered. I think that's absolutely. If your spouse has had a previous relationship, you may feel like Leah at times, but you are not in her situation. Leah's status as a wife was a result of her father's trickery. Your marriage is based on choice, not deceit. You have chosen each other in love, regardless of your pasts. You can both now learn and work through the inevitable mixed feelings, comparisons, and different difficult situations that arise when two people make a new life together. Another great, great point here, because we chose to be together, and all the other people that choose to be married, no matter what has happened before, we can come together in marriage and bring those things to God and find healing through that. And something we're going to talk about when we get to the questions, a little bit about that, so stay tuned. Though Leah felt second best most of her marriage, she learned to pour out her heart to God, as we see in the way she chose her children's names. During times of insecurity or hurt feelings, God can soothe your soul too. Take your feelings to Him, then bring your concerns to your spouse and talk through the situation so that the two of you can grow closer and learn more about each other over time. This is a difficult devotional, but very powerful devotional, because I think the overall theme here is that we can bring our suffering to God and He will heal us through the pain, no matter what we have experienced, right? Whether it's something that we caused, we chose, or something that somebody else did to us, we can come to the Lord with our suffering and He will vindicate us, right?
Yeah, that's what we did in the beginning of our marriage, because...
Really quick, I want to read this question and then you can continue on that point, okay? It's just so they can be following with us. How do you feel about relationships in our past? Are these feelings or situations we need to talk through? So continue. The beginning of our marriage. This is a very important part
of our story. The beginning of our marriage, I had a lot of issues. I had a lot of things that I needed healing. And Dallas helped me so much to pray about those things and find out what God thinks about all that, you know, and what He wanted for me. God wanted for me healing and not suffering and not dwelling in the past. So, and dwelling in bad things, like what people would say about me, or accusations from the enemy, from people, nothing of this matters, because God loves me, you know. So I had to understand that. I had to get healing, and God loves me, and He still loves me. He still values me, you know, and I needed that. And Dallas also got a lot of healing even before we got married. That's why he was able to help me, because we are not like two hurt people hitting each other with words and hurting each other. But he helped me through my process of getting healing in my emotional and everything. Because of the thing challenge, right?
Yes. I went through that facility and we went through something called Ultimate Journey, where we could go through and kind of look at all the pain and suffering in our life and see, kind of ask that question, where were you, God? And it brought a ton of healing in so many areas of my life. And so after that, I was like, all right, God, I feel like I'm pretty healed. I'm ready for a wife. Where is she? You know? And then I got married. And I'm like, whoa, so much to learn.
Yeah.
But I want to touch on what Marcelli is saying, that through this, I don't think any of us like to talk about previous relationships once we get married. I mean, I think that's just crazy. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to even bring doubts or thoughts to the
or person compare.
You love, or compare, or even create a situation to compare?
Yeah.
So I think that's
healthy.
It's uncomfortable. It's unhealthy. But we all, I think, bring some type of baggage or even preconceived notions if we've never been in a relationship into our marriage. And so we for the first 3 years, I think, of our marriage, we brought our previous things into the marriage and we weren't healed from that. And what happens when you're not healed from those things, you're giving the enemy permission to divide you with it. And so even in little fights, little things, the enemy would just put that thing in and he would use that to divide us. And so thankfully through the marriage group that we went through here, right? Yeah. We went through this marriage group and we found some people that we found some people that we trusted, and we were able to confess these things to them and really just put it out in the open. And for me, Marcelli said I had a lot of freedom and a lot of healing. But as we walked into marriage, I brought those things into marriage. And I didn't feel, what can I say? I didn't feel, I couldn't forgive myself.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. I couldn't forgive myself. And so through that process, I was able to forgive myself.
Of one thing that he thought was the worst. The
worst thing I could do, right?
Yeah.
And God broke the chains off through confessing that sin to them, praying together. And what did it literally look like? Marcelle and I sat together across from each other, holding our hands, and we prayed, we put everything out in the open, we confessed our sins before God, before this couple, to each other. We asked sorry, you know, and God healed our marriage.
We even forgave ourselves.
Yeah, forgave ourselves.
And Dallas was able to forgive himself. And for me, it was not a big deal, but, you know, God just brought a lot of peace, you know. But Dallas needed that time. And
I needed it. I needed it.
And praise God, God led.
Bondage. I was allowing myself to be in bondage, you know, all of these things.
So one thing about this moment, it was so special, it was so important. And now, like, marriage looks different and so free, so amazing. And one thing about that moment, the people that were praying with us, they were key, because they were people that really prayed for us and really helped us. And they cared about us, and they were very spiritual people, that they loved the Lord so much. They did not come with judgment against us about anything.
And that's one more thing. We never talked about this to anybody. We never really confessed it or talked about it. And this couple, the way that they entered our life was just, we just trusted them. We just felt like this was the time to confess and to the
we
time.
We felt led by Absolutely. God to trust
led
them.
By God. And it was, God used them as an instrument.
And God uses them. And God uses them with other couples. It's funny because they even told us, yeah, we know. People just come and tell a lot of stuff to us. Yeah. And they keep it a secret, you know. Never they were gossiping
and
about
they were
anyone.
So chill. Like, I mean,
yeah, they were like, so chill.
Like the thing that was holding us in so much bondage.
Yeah, for us was like the worst thing ever.
And they're like,
and then they led us into prayer. And and they didn't look at us in a different way after, you know. They were so sweet, and they're still sweet with everybody, you know, because we've seen it happening. So the point of it is, like, find someone that you can confess things, but that you really know that this person, these people love the Lord and loves you too.
So our second question, Leah and Rachel's relationship was marked by competition, jealousy, and bitterness. What caused this, and what could have changed it? I think it's obviously the result of their father's trickery, their father's deceit. And as we talked about a few minutes ago, everybody suffered. The father suffered with unhappy daughters. Leah and Rachel suffered because of the comparison in their sisterhood and marriage relationship thing, weird triangle thing. And then you bring in the slaves to start having children too. It gets crazy. And of course, Jacob, how could you be happy when all your wives are fighting and your children are fighting over, you know, who's better and whatnot?
And later they sold one brother, jacked up. Not
so
a functional family.
So important to live by God's standards and not compare and not be jealous and not have bitterness. Because when you compare, it's the killer of joy. It brings jealousy. It brings bitterness. It brings complicated situations. And you're allowing the enemy to divide not just the relationship, but the home and the family. And we obviously see this in the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel. And so it's difficult. It's a stressful situation. Anything else about that? No? The last question, check out the names Leah gave her children. Genesis 29, 31 through 35, 30, 16 through 21. What do they say about her relationship with God? And yeah, I think that's so valuable to see the way that she turned to God in her suffering, because it wasn't suffering that she caused herself. Initially, it was caused by her father, but it led to a lot of suffering, and she came to the Lord to bring her strength. Can you go ahead and read some of those names that she gave her children? I think this is so valuable.
Yeah, some names that Leah gave her children. Reuben means my misery, and Simeon means the one who hears to God, God who wants to hears. Levi for attached. Judah for... it means praise God, right? Dan means he has vindicated. Naphtali means my struggle.
Yeah, I think, yeah, of course, she ran to God. God is my vindicator. God sees my misery. God is who hears me. She called another son praise. That's good. She must have been happy in that season of her life.
Yeah, there's another one here to say, like, Asher means happy. But some were through their concubines, right? Their slaves.
So through this whole situation, I think we can just learn from this devotional today. No matter what type of suffering we have, we can bring it to God. And he will bring us healing and comfort. And he'll satisfy our soul. And I think you can apply this in so many situations. It doesn't have to be just relationships. It can be jobs. It can be work. It could be anything. I mean, jobs and work is the same thing, but it could be anything, you know, in your life that you're struggling or suffering with. No, there's nothing too big or nothing too small for God. And so I think that's a great devotional today. It's tough to get through because talking about previous relationships are tough and challenging if you've never had that conversation with your spouse. Thankfully, by the grace of God, this devotional has walked us through those questions before. And I can honestly say if we didn't have this devotional guiding us through this, we never would have talked about this naturally, unless God led. But we never would have, hey, how was your past relationship? How does that affect our marriage today? Like, people don't have that. People don't talk about that, you know? But it's valuable to find healing through that process. And so I'm grateful that we did have these conversations about our past, and I have peace, you know, about it. And I'm grateful for God for leading us in this devotional. Not today. We did it years ago, of course, but I'm so grateful that you guys can be a part of it as well. And I hope that it brings you as much healing as it has brought us in our marriage as well. So that's why I love this devotional. It's so good. This book is so good. The Bible is good. The devotionals in the Bible are also good. So anything else? No? Can you end us with a prayer?
Yes. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this moment that we can seek you, we can spend time in your presence, Lord, and I pray for you to continue to be with us the whole day and with all the people that are watching, Lord. I pray for you to bring peace into their homes and their relationships, Lord. Help them to find an end for their suffering about things that they're struggling with and to find a counseling couple to help them to love them and guide them to healing, Lord. Help the people that are listening, Lord, into their marriages. Bless them. And the people that are not married yet, Lord, just help them to get this healing that they need from past relationships before they get married, Lord. It's so good. It's so important. And we give all the praise to you, Lord. Thank you for this rain outside, watering the plants. Thank you for our lives, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. See you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
Ciao.